Right, good morning. You've been wishing one another 恭喜发财, right? How many of you are excited, okay, for the last holiday, the whole this week, okay, of Chinese New Year holidays? Yes? All right, praise the Lord. Okay, amen. So did all of you have a awesome Chinese New Year celebration? Yes? How many of you raw for Jesus? All right, okay. Can I hear a bit of raw today? Okay. I think for all those who have a bigger ampao, you might, okay, raw even more. Yesterday I was preaching in the youth. Many of them didn't get or receiving their ampao for the first time last Saturday. All right, anyway, this Chinese New Year celebration or holiday has been like the longest holiday ever, because I get to know that many travel from Thursday onwards, okay, some Friday, okay, some range from 5 to 10 days of holiday, okay, isn't it wonderful? And I also realize that some are still on holiday, okay, or those who are watching, I know you're on holiday, all right, okay, praise the Lord. Now, also like to welcome some new friends here one more time, okay, for those who are over here, right, let's give them a big hand, okay, for joining us this morning. All right, praise the Lord, and all those who are online as well. Now, last Sunday, okay, I talked about reunion. Okay, one of the best things that happened, I mean, for me, that in the sense that when we go back for Chinese New Year, we get to see all our friends and family, okay, from, because as we grow, as you move, okay, to another town, another city, okay, you don't really get to see friends or family that have been away for so long, okay. Even as talk about reunion, okay, beside all the laughter that you have, all the singing, all the wishing, all the food. Show you one of the photos, all right? So a friend that showed on day one of Chinese New Year, you are so thin. And then day two, day three, and then you grow fatter and fatter. Chinese New Year, they celebrate for 15 days, yes? By the 15th year, you're so fat that you couldn't move, all right, now. Now, so as we talk about reunion last Sunday, okay, there's so much, okay, that happening, okay, during this season, all right? Some of you probably reconciliation, restoration of relationship. Some of you were reconnecting, okay, back and rekindling of relation, friendship, and so on. You know, I took time to message some of my classmates whether how many of them are still in Tolu Lintan. Okay, I discovered a few. I managed to meet two and haven't seen them for years. And one of them is like since 87, I think, all right? So when I met them, but I couldn't meet him, but in a sense, went to his home and meet all his family members, okay? Likewise, okay, even for myself, our children have grown so big, okay, likewise for him. And visiting them, pray for them. Do you know many of those gatherings that you have, one of the biggest difference will be when you choose to pray, okay, for them, all right? Also, glad that we could also pray, okay, for friends and family, even for Mio's parents, all right? Now, after visiting my classmate and all those on our way back to Ipoh, you know, and he was so excited that he keep on messaging me, and then he said, wow, all this year, we have not met for so long, and then coming to pray for our family, he said, wow, because we are all so close, he called me by the name, okay, Gyokping, all right, Gyokping, wow, this, you have to be like a God-sent one, all right, to come and pray for the family. I think they have not had some kind of visitation for such a long time. Okay, I hope you are all blessed. Yes, I believe you have your own story. Please share that, all right, in your live group this coming week. Yeah, good, amen. Yes, so now we are in the midst of a bite series, which we want to focus on the power and the beauty, okay, of God's word. And as such that we are looking at the book of John. Amen. So I also encourage you this month, all right, if you have not read the Gospel of John, please do so. Now, so in Gospel of John is where that we get all these seven statements. All right, these seven statements. Why these seven statements? You see that in John, how he wrote the Bible or the Gospel is that in verse 21 or chapter 20, that these are written so that you may believe, okay, that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Say with me, believe. Say with me, life. All right, because the whole writing is that he wants to draw you to know Jesus, and Jesus has revealed himself, okay, and with that, as being the Son of God and all those. So when Paul, when Apostle John wrote that, he introduced to us who is Jesus. All right, if you can stand with me, can you stand with me? Okay, let's declare who Jesus is. So we'll start with I am the true wine. Okay, start with that. All right. So I say, Jesus said who he is. Okay, one. Jesus says, I am the true wine. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the gate. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands. So even as we go through this season, abide. Father, we want to know you more. Take us deeper, oh God, Lord. Father, I ask the Holy Spirit, come teach us, guide us, Lord, as we look into your word each day. Father, that your word speaks into our life. Father, that we can apply them every day, okay, in our daily life. I give thanks once again. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen, amen. You may be seated in the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Now, so today I'm going to talk about the next topic, okay, which is the word, okay, sets you free. Okay, the word set us free. Yes. I mean, a bit too loud. Okay, sorry. Okay, now, right now. So we have this six-part series. In between, we have all the series break. So yes, last Sunday was a series break on abide. But we talk about abiding, okay, in God's word, even as you travel, even if you meet with friends and family. So today we're going to look at the word, okay, set us free. Say with me, free. As we're going to look at John chapter 8, all right? So I'm going to pick up a few verses in John 8 as we look at how does the word set us free. Now, interestingly, when you read John 8, the beginning of the passage talk about stoning. I believe none of us like to be stoned. True or not? No, huh? But how many of you have played games like baseball? When I was in school, during primary and secondary school, especially the primary, we like to play this game of throwing the baseball, you know? And on the other part is to catch. But to make the game more challenging, it's not baseball. Yeah, baseball. The tennis ball. Okay, baseball is too hard. Okay, this will be the tennis ball, the green one, all right? So we divide it into two groups. And the game is to throw this tennis ball and hit your opponent. Okay, once you hit the opponent is out. So it's, at the end of the day, who wins, all right? So it's like a stoning game. All right, so in this story of the woman caught in adultery, okay, the story is such that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and that's where that he sit down and taught, okay, his disciples. But there were scribes and Pharisees, okay, who are not happy, all right, with Jesus. So they brought the woman that's caught in adultery and bring it to Jesus, all right? When they bring to Jesus, they say, okay, Jesus, this is the law that Moses says, okay, and commanded that is to stone such a woman. What do you say, Jesus? All right. So the story goes that Jesus bent down and wrote something on the ground. Okay. While they're still saying to Jesus, Jesus stood up and Jesus said this, let him who is without sin among you be first to throw a stone at her. So again, how many of you have thrown a stone? Okay. Now, then Jesus bent down one more time. I only discovered that Jesus actually bent down two times. We do not know. Nobody knows what is written, but we always say that maybe he's writing the name of everyone, all those accusers. So we know the story is such, they drop the stone and walk away. And when Jesus come to the woman, he said this to the woman, okay, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she's replied, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go, okay, from now, sin no more. Okay, that's the story, beginning of John chapter 8. The ending of John 8 is also another stoning. John 8, thinking to change the title into let's learn of what means by stoning. All right, now, John 8, at the end, again, the Pharisees coming against Jesus, and there was a story about who Abraham is, and we all cut the story short, is that, allow me to read in verse 56, all right, talking about who Abraham, and then they said, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. he saw it and was glad. So Jesus was revealing himself, who is he, and so on. So the Jews said to him, all right, so they're arguing, and there's a lot of conversation that's going on between Jesus and the Pharisee. All right, so the Jews says to him, you are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Because Jesus said, I know Abraham. And Jesus continued to say this, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Was Jesus already existed right from the beginning, all right? And so they pick up stones to throw at Jesus. Wow. Read again, John 8. The stoning at the beginning and stoning at the end. In that sense, when Jesus was revealing himself, it's about whether the people choose to believe or choose not to believe. Belief versus unbelief. Okay, whether you believe in the word, you believe in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, you'll be set free. So there was just a demonstration, even for the woman caught in adultery, that she was released. Okay, Jesus intervened and she was set free. Amen. All right, now, even reading those, the anchor verse, okay, in John 8 that we're going to talk about today is that in verse 31, 32, so Jesus said to the Jews who had belief, all right, so the whole thing about belief or unbelief. If you abide in my word and you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Say with me one more time, free. All right, so today we're going to talk about the word of God that sets you and I free. But what does it mean? What does it mean when Jesus say, if you abide in my word, what does that mean? I'm going to talk about that, and then how are you going to set free, okay, if Jesus were to say that. So with that, just two key points on this, and then we'll look at what it means, okay, when you set free, what does that mean, all right? Now, number one, two key points is that if you abide in my word, Jesus say, you are truly my disciples. Now, in other words, Jesus is also saying, or the opposite, if you do not abide in my word, what does that mean? You are not truly my disciples. Now, by saying that, Jesus talking about abiding, what does that mean? Now, I want to draw your attention back, okay, to this word called remain, okay, which is abide. If you read another version, so if you abide my words and you remain, if you remain in my words, okay, the other version that you might read. So is this word abide that carries the word remain, which means, say with me, dwell, stay, continue, follow, leave. Now, I'll give you one illustration. Is such that you have a good friend, and this person is so good to you. He's your best friend ever, all right? He don't want to live far from you, and he chose to come by where you stay, all right? And then buy a new house just next to you. You have friends like that? Or you have friends that love you so much, all right? Say, now my next door is now vacant. Can you move in here, all right? So Jesus is saying that when you abide means you stay, you dwell. You dwell in the word of God. So think about it. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, do you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? If you are, you should be abiding, okay, in God's word. And good, amen? Yes, you think about, okay, Jesus, if I'm your disciples, what should I do? What should I be? What would be my posture? What should I do? So this year, I'm inviting every one of you to not only read the word, but to dwell in the word. Can? All right? To live, to stay, to remain in the word. To give you more example will be like, or to unpack for you, what if you can read the gospel? How many gospels are there? Tricky question. Okay, there are one gospel, but we have four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If people would have asked you, have you read any book? Yes, four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What if you read over and over again the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, January, February, March, April, then May, June, July, then August, September, October, right? You go through three rounds, Ken. What if you do that? What will happen to you? Let me tell you, you know Jesus more than anybody else. What if you read all the Gospels? Take Philippians, take Galatians, okay, take Colossians. All those are short book of the Bible in New Testament. Sometimes, should I say sometimes? Or many times, when I was waiting for someone, why so long? I finished reading Philippians. Then another round waiting. Oh, so long I read. I finished Colossians. Friends, there are a lot of waiting period in our life. If you can capture all those moments, friends, you dwelling in the Word of God, rather than Candy Crush. All those games that you are playing, I do not know. Flip, 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 flip. I don't know. But what if you turn that around? What if I'm asking you not to recite the Bible, but to live in the Bible? What if? Think about it now, just playing words. What if I'm asking you not just study the Bible, but live it out? So the more you read, the more the Word of God will abide, and you abide in God's Word. So the word abide is an experiential word, which where you can be embedded, wrapped around, and feel that wall. The more you read, as you read and read and read, you will go to the extent where, wow, if Jesus was to walk this way, what does that mean? Who does he actually meet? Who is he talking to? Was he around? Is he walking by the beach? Was this only Peter, James, and John? Was there other people? When he said instruction or teaching, who are the people around him? Or is it only the 12? But there are also people who beside them. And they probably have heard also. The same time, many more who have come to know the Lord. You know, we are now I'm doing my master, and now we are reading on the missional movement. One of the things they talk about, like during the Pentecost, people from all around who believe God, they came. There are people who not just live in Jerusalem that believe in God. There are people from all over the world already. There's a diaspora already taken place that they knew, and they got to come, okay, to that festival, the Passover. Oh, just amazing, okay, how, okay, the people who have known God, who have gone to different places. So when we look at it, let me unpack for you. If you say you live in Penang, wow, you can tell everything about Penang, right? Who founded Penang? Wow, okay. Before Francis Lai? Okay, all right. Before Francis Lai, there were already people living here, right? True or not? Right now, just that with that exploration, okay, Penang become known. You can tell people about the weather. How many seasons are there? You can tell people four seasons, same, four seasons. Rain, dry, hot and hotter, okay. I don't know, okay? You can tell people about the culture because you've been living here for so long. The people, the food, every corner you know, whether good or bad, you can recommend. Every char kway teow in Penang. Because I realized that living for so long, although they said this char kway teow was the best, I realized that everyone has acquired a certain skill. It's just a vision appeal to your tongue, right? And maybe the price. Okay, now, you know every corner and nook. You know the history, you know the people, you know every streets. Not just Jalan Sahala. Where are you now? I'm Jalan Sahala. Okay. That's my joke with my friend. Okay, now, you know the transport, you know where to get, you know the best place ever. And even you are from other place, you have considered yourself as Penang Lang. True? So there's website, what do you call that? Facebook, Penang Lang. Penang Lang means Penang people. Penang Lang means orang, okay, people. Typically, what you abide is what you about. Let me unpack that a bit. Okay, if you abide, giving you the opposite will be, if you abide in fear and worries, what will you be about? You will be about with fear and worries. You're afraid, okay, of so many things around you. You never get out from where you are because of fear and worries. I'm not saying that you don't apply wisdom. Yes, you need to apply wisdom. Especially now, you're talking about, wow, what is this Omicron? Yesterday, the news that I keep on receiving is like reaching how many? 9,000. And that case baru, that means new case. Is anyone who have gone into abide, okay, in fear, and ended up, you stay home. In other words, if you got to, apply wisdom, you got to be careful. But if you continue abide in fear and worries, then you ended up, okay, abound in fear and worries. So be careful what you abide. But if you abide in God's word, friends, the Bible tells us blessings, okay, will overflow, okay, in your life. Freedom, okay, that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, if you abide in God's word. A good amen? All right. Now, I was looking at Psalms 119. I was thinking whether I want to study one Psalm 119, and I discovered a few things. Psalm 119 is the longest Psalms. I remember Pastor Kel, in during our 5 days of prayer and fasting, he was saying that this one was caught again in prison, and then he's going to kill him, all right, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the last thing that you want to do before we kill you, all right, then he said, I want to read Psalms 119. The longest psalm. The longest psalm in the Bible, all right? Now, a bit of the Psalms 119, it describes how the psalmist experienced abiding in the Word. This longest psalm or the long psalm deserves a long introduction, yes? All right, now. The author is unnamed, but many say that universally it is a psalm of David. But in that sense, it might be composed by many authors as well, and especially for David, okay, throughout his entire life. All right, now, Psalms 119 is about greatness and the glory of God's Word. Okay, when you read Psalms 119. Today, in the when we partake Holy Communion, I read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19, 119. All right, now, it's arranged, if you look at Psalms 119, if you open your Bible, it's arranged in an acrostic pattern. If you know that, all right? So, this is the real Bible, right? People don't... We don't hear this sound anymore. So, I purposely... So you can hear this sound, okay? Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Okay, Psalm 119, if you open up, it's with different section. Okay, so every of those sections, there are 8 verses. And divided into 22. Why 22? Because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So you actually want to learn the Hebrew, you do one Psalms 119, then you can spell already. A, okay? So you put the A there, Alep. Who want to be named as Alep? Or you have 22 sons, you can name them one by one. You see? So Alep, Beth, Gimel, Dalef, He. So it's like A, B, C, D, and so on. And there are 22, okay, section of that. Okay, 22 letters, so 22 a session with 8 verses. So 22 times 8, 176 verses. And go to YouVersion, type Psalms 119. Okay, you take you through 22 days. And just amazing, reading 8 verses, okay, per day and study that. All right, now, so I found this just interesting. Okay, he divide into 30 days because of 1 month. And he got all these 8 verses each. And then he said, God's word blesses, purifies, satisfies, revives, delights, liberates, comforts, motivates, informs, okay, unashamed, principle, unchanging, enlightened, illuminates, protects, justifies, directs, consumes, captivates, awakens, safeguards, sustains. Wow, so the riches of the word of God, okay, inside Psalms. So I encourage you to do that. You don't know what to do, don't know what to read. Psalms 119 could be something that you can do, okay, in the month of February and for the rest, okay, of the year. Now, look at what Jesus said if you abide in the Word. Now, one of the prayer night, many of us knew this verse from verse 24, okay, 27. Let me read that. He said, everyone who hears this word of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. How many wise men here? Wow, I see 1,000 of them. Wow, okay, now. And they built on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Then the second part is that everyone who hears this word of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. How many foolish men here? Oh, I see none. Praise the Lord. Now, who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. Okay, great was the fall of it. Praise the Lord, you're so satisfied. Hallelujah, you eat the best of the land. Okay, now, many times we read this, but what was the passage before this? So the passage before this was 21, 23. See what Jesus said this. It's like a warning. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will you enter the kingdom? Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That was a passage before Jesus talking about the wise, okay, and the foolish men. Okay, sometimes we can call up, okay, cast out demons, prophesy, and all those. Friends, at the end of the day, are you abiding in God's word? Being wise. It's okay if you do not know how to prophesy. It's okay. It's okay if you do not know how to cast out demons. You still go to heaven. Abide in God's word. Amen. All right, yeah? Then move on. So in other words, if you don't abide in his word, even by reading and obeying, okay, then Jesus is saying that you are not his disciple. This is a sobering thought that every one of us need to think about, all right? So it's also saying that just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. Okay, you hear me say, my daughter caught it. They say, just because you go to McDonald's doesn't make you Ronald McDonald. Okay, maybe adding on. Just because you're standing in a BMW shop doesn't mean you own one BMW, all right? Just because you can roar like a tiger doesn't make you a tiger, right? Okay, now, so it's still again whether you abide in God's word dwell in you, and you dwell in God's word. You don't just hear his word, but you abide in his word, not just hearer, but be a doer of his word. Amen? Wow. Okay, now, next. Number two, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. Now, truth has become so subjective and relative. The question is, who defines truth today? You know, you can believe something or anything because someone is saying it for the long time. And people just choose to believe that truth. How many of you realize that for the longest time in the world, people think that the world is flat? So it looks like this. Flat. All right? Until someone, okay, an explorer, discovered that it is not. How many of you realize that the rainbow is not a semicircle? Huh? The rainbow is not a semicircle. It's a circle. It's talking about a promise. You know, each time when doing a wedding, I was always take out the ring. Your face, oh, okay. Okay. Well, I always take out the ring and say, ring, this is the vow that each and every, the two of you make together. The ring is a circle, it's an emblem, it's a circle. About a promise that never broken. God's promise. So the promise for husband and wife that you stay true. Okay, for richer, for poorer. Alright? All those that we say the vow during the wedding. Okay, the promise. The rainbow, okay, it's a circle. The media is trying to define truth to us, and that if you have this and that, then you will be successful. Yes? You see all the media that you are looking at, and they will come and pop up all the time. Right, so the idea that is in the world today, that sometimes you just do not know, okay, whether this is true or not, all right? And sometimes it can be so destructive. Well, if you want to know the truth, get back into the scripture, all right? So when we talk about the truth, the word in Greek is called ginosko, okay? It's that knowledge that comes not just by reading and listening, but by acting and obeying the Lord, okay? Knowing, okay, the truth. Right. So you may intellectually know some truth, but you don't really know or experience it until you surrender and obey to the truth. Okay, we are talking about the word of God. I can tell you how nice, how delicious is Tolo Intan Chee Chong Fan. Until you taste it. Alright. We waited for how long? At least 45 minutes queue. Okay, to buy the Chee Chong Fan. Of course, eating on the same day, right? not after 1-2 days, it's different story, all right? Now, at the same shop that they go for the longest time, now the neighbor did exactly the same. Of course, original is more expensive, the other one is not. I said, I went to buy as well, because I want to taste both, see what's the difference. Whew, the moment meal takes this, say, this one fake, this one real one, this one fake, this one real one. Okay, now, I can tell you how good is guitar mattress. But you won't know how is it like until you sleep on one. Yes? Yeah, we sleep the one in Pura Perhentian. Okay, now, praise the Lord. Now, I can tell you how good Jesus is to me. Until you really receive him, accept him, and experience him. Yes? Alright? So, with that, this was where in John 8, verse 12, says that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness but have the light of life. It's John 8. But Jesus revealing, believe or not believe, light or darkness. All right. So that is knowing, okay, the truth. Because John 8 is an ongoing conversation between Jesus has with the Pharisees to point them to truth, okay, and freedom. Now, Paul said this. He said, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the wave and carried about by every wind of doctrine or by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful scheme. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way in Him, into Him who is the head, into Christ. Right? So if you do not know, then you always toast and fro. True or not, you know, fake or not. So I'm sure. All right? So by moving forward, how does abiding in God's word set you free? How does that happen? All right? So now, going back to that anchor verse that we are talking about. Okay, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right, which means the opposite is also true. If you do not know the truth, then the truth can't make you free. All right, so you need the truth. So what is freedom, friends? What is freedom? Is freedom is to do whatever you want, whatever you like. I hope that picture means give you a lot of things to think about. The cage is open, but still inside, right? So you have a choice to stay or to fly. Is it about when you reach age 21 for young people? Yeah, I'm 21, freedom, I can do whatever I like. I can party, I can drink, and so on. Is that freedom? Is what you meant? Is that how it's defined? But this is not the freedom that we are talking about. But it is a freedom to choose to do what is right and giving God the honor. Freedom is not that you fall into sin, okay, or bound by sin or slave to sin, all right? Freedom, okay? It's not for you to go in freedom to sin, okay? It's not freedom to sin or freedom, okay, to be of such. No. So when you look at the verse 33 to 38, this is what Jesus says, okay? They said to him, okay, we are offspring of Abraham and have never enslaved to anyone. Okay, the Jews speaking to Jesus. They have not, man. They had been slaves for the longest time in Egypt. They couldn't see the truth. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered to them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So you have a choice. Okay, you practice sin, freedom to sin. Okay, freedom is not for you to go in sin. But if you do that, then you become a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house of rival. The son remains. And then you have this most powerful verse that we use for which we end. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. So Jesus here, okay, in the conversation, revealing, abiding in word. Whether we live in the word, we will remain in the word, or we choose to believe or we are not to believe. All right. So it's about your believing in Jesus, and his word will set you free. So when we sin, we become the slave to sin. Sin become our master. And it's a kind, quote unquote, it's kind of addiction. All right. And so many addictions in our world today, drugs, gambling, drinking. Those days when we do our BM essays or English essay, okay, those things that affecting the generation, today may not be drugs, gambling, and drinking, right? The internet world has taken over, okay, their life, all right, now. Okay, so when people fall into drugs, gambling, drinking, thinking, okay, that can give them a good life. Friends, do you know that all those are false freedom, deception, okay, from the enemy? Because all those, okay, will entrap you, okay, become slave, okay, because of that bad habit and you could not break it. So have you ever thought, if you abide in God's word, what to actually set you free? All right, let me show you this in Galatians. Paul said this, for freedom of Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke slavery. Coming out from that bondage, from that habit, Okay, from that yoke of slavery, don't go back there again. All right, now. So later on in the verse 19:21, he said this: when you follow the desire of sinful nature, this is what happened to you. Okay, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Serious, right? But when you abide in the word of God, you're set free. Okay, for all these bondages, okay, and you depend on God. You know, some time ago, one of my friends asked me, said, GP, how can we live that way? I said, can. There's a verse in the Bible that says this, 119. 119, huh? 9 and 11. Wow, this one is like symmetry. I just saw it. Okay, now, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Abiding his word. With my whole heart, I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you become conscious of God. Things that you want to do, oh, God's word said this. So it make you make better decisions, okay, and fewer regrets. All right? So that is the wonderful word, okay, of God. So as I end, okay, when the word of what can the word of God and how he sets you free, and a lot of people fall, okay, into this, let me tell you, it's still going back to the word of God. I wish there is a shortcut. I wish that the Bible is thinner, you know, thinner. Oh, you have the smallest Bible, but you can't read at all right? Provided you have magnifying glass. All right, now, the word of God set us free from the captivity of sin. Okay, sin can be enjoyable from the beginning, but it's a trap, my friend. It's a trap. How they trap the wild animals? They put a bait. The light, the whatever, okay, that you want to catch, okay, looks so delicious, you fall into the trap. Likewise, human also the same, okay, then the same mistake, okay, repeats over and over again. So in order to be set free, okay, from captivity of sin is to ask God for forgiveness. Confess, okay, our sin. Look at this scripture. This is one scripture that you should memorize. Okay, Bible talks about, because John 8 talks about, I am the light of the world, Jesus says. Okay, so if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus is his son, cleanses us from all sin, all the wrongdoing. Okay, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Okay, have you met anyone say, I have no sin? Or may want to run away from him. All right, now, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God requires us to do one thing. Our part is just to confess. What's God's part? God's part is, you buy one, you got free too. Okay, he's faithful. Okay, no, he will forgive us and cleanse us. This is what I'm going to do. Will he do? Yes, because his character is, he's faithful and just. That is promise over us. We just need to do one thing only. That is to come before God and confess before him. Okay, God will do his part. Second thing that I can sum up will be, Jesus can set you free from the guilt and burden of sin. You know how many people living in guilt and burden of sin? And when you live in guilt, the sin is heavy. And it can weigh you down and wear you out. And that is the danger, okay, of what sin's all about, guilt and the burden of sin. And also realize that when you look at the West and the East, there are different guilt, okay, that is living among. Okay, even the person has died for the longest time, the guilt stays. And they carry with them until leaving this earth. Friends, it's not worth, okay, carrying all this guilt and burden. And you can be set free, okay, by asking God, okay, to forgive you and forgive others. So in other words, don't leave this morning without asking God, okay, to forgive you. And probably you need to take one step, okay, to forgive others as well. Amen? The third one, as I close, third one is that set us free from the eternal consequences of sin. All right, now, let me tell you that heaven and hell is so real. It's a choice, okay, that we make. Okay, so when we come to know Jesus, okay, we are free from the eternal consequences of sin. You know, when my always remember this moment, all right? So when my grandma passed away and gone with the Lord, okay, she come to know the Lord at the end, at the last stage of his age, okay, about 80 plus, and coming to know Christ, the Lord extended his life. But the day when she passed away, and when our pastor, okay, I was still, am I still in USM? Maybe, huh? All right. So, the pastor who conducted the about to say wedding, the funeral. So, you know, in old days, I think as well, they buy their burial plot very early. Her husband, which my grandfather have never seen, was already buried there. So it was the day where in the burial ground that is going to bury, okay, the casket in. So the pastor said this, this is two souls. One knew the Lord, one do not know the Lord. The body, physical body, is so close next to each other. But eternity, they are so far away. Because one knew the Lord, one did not. Wow, friends, the word of God set us free from eternal consequences of sin. Amen. Does the word of God set us free? Amen. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful God. Father, today I want to uphold all of us into your hands. I pray, Lord, this year, this season, Lord, that we love your word even more. Help us, Lord, each day to discipline ourselves. I pray, Lord, each and every one of us will will ourselves to abiding in God's word. Today, even as we learn of the word of God, if we abide in the word of God, and that's the truth, and it will set us free. I pray, oh God, Lord, our love for you and your words escalate, Lord. The desire inside us stir us, Lord, okay, to love your word and obey your word. Once again, Lord, even in Isaiah 1:19, if we obey and obedient, Lord, we will taste the best, okay, of the land. Lord, today I pray, set us free. And some of us probably, you were thinking about hearing the message, you say, oh, Lord, I have some of this area in my life. Certain sins that entangle, okay, me, or certain guilt that weighing you down, or when you think about who Jesus is and you have not come to know the Lord. If you are in any of those areas, sins that entangle you, or guilt that weigh you down, I want you to place your hand, okay, on your heart. I pray, Father, I commit all of us into your hands, as well all those who are hearing this message in online. Father, I pray that each and every one of going through this, that we come before you and ask, Lord Jesus, forgive me, okay, of the sins that I have done, I've wronged others, and those things that keep on coming as a guilt in my life and as entangle me. Father, right now, I ask for your forgiveness, okay, upon my life. Father, I ask, Lord, that the blood of Jesus once again cleanse me, forgive me, and choose, Lord, to forgive others. If you pray this prayer, okay, the Lord will begin to work in your life, removing. Father God, right now, I pray, remove, okay, those burden or guilt that's upon, okay, those who are going through this. I pray this in Jesus' name. And for those who have asking, Lord, this eternal consequences, I want to come out from them. Well, that is by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. If any one of you have not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. This is your privilege, okay, to pray with you as well. So if you are, probably you want to quickly raise your hand so that I can pray for you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If there's anyone, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And those online, you probably wanted to pray that prayer. It's as simple as this. We learn this all from very young. Okay, it's easy as this that says, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things that I have done against you and others. The second word will be, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. That you went on the cross, shed your blood, you died for me, you forgive me. I ask for your forgiveness. And say, Lord, please right now, Jesus, I open my heart and receive you. Come into my heart. If you can pray those prayers, okay, believe, okay, your walk with Jesus began. And let us know so that we can grow you, we can disciple you to be a strong Christian. Amen. Everybody say amen. Yes, Father God, bless each and everyone as we go today. We know, Lord, okay, your goodness upon our life, even as we abide in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, everyone say,
Amen.
Give Jesus a big hand.